Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
A very good morning, church. And just a very today I would like to share about my journey of discovering God's purpose and calling for my life. And just a very brief, short introduction about myself. My name is Emu. By race, I'm from Karen tribe from Myanmar. I came to Singapore in 1998 after I got married to my husband, Tommy, who is from Singapore. In a very short, brief background about my family, I grew up in a Christian family. I'm the youngest in my family of four sisters. My father passed away when I was 5 years old. My mother brought us up alone. Due to the nature of her work, my mom traveled frequently to other towns and villages in Myanmar. However, she would encourage us to attend church and Sunday school regularly. I accepted Christ when I was in one of my Sunday school lessons. As a child, I really enjoyed my Sunday school lessons very much. I remember when I was about 10 years old, my Sunday school teacher told us about the life stories of pioneer missionaries like Hudson Taylor to China, Adoniram Jackson to Burma, and Amy Carmichael to India. In Sunday school, we were taught how we could be involved in the mission works, though we may be young. The life stories of these pioneer missionaries deeply impacted me. In my early 20s, during summer holidays, I traveled up to the northern part of Myanmar to a mountain village with a few church friends. We lived with a local couple who are indigenous mission workers. I helped out in the kitchen and took care of the couples and their co-workers' children during the summer gospel camp for mountain tribal children and youth. The experience of staying and serving with a couple allowed me to see the real life of missionaries. The precious lesson I learned from staying with them was their obedience, simple trust in faith, and their love for the tribal people. After a few years of volunteering in this mountain village, I began to pray to the Lord to show me the mission field He has planned for me. In 2001, I was in my final year study of occupational therapy course in Singapore Nanyang Polytechnic. One day, through my daily devotion, the Lord spoke to me through Proverbs 31 and verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. From then on, He started to open up doors for me to work with children with special needs and to involve in the area of special education. From Proverbs 31 verse 8, I learned that God is very concerned about the welfare of these children with special needs, and they are in the very heart of God. During my final year in Nanyang Poly, I have to learn one module called professional development. One of the assignments I have to do in the module was to pen down how I could see myself 5 years down the road in our professional career. I still remember very clearly I wrote down to be involved in the special education field in Myanmar. Upon graduation, I worked as an occupational therapist in Singapore to gain the necessary knowledge and experience. Throughout, I was praying and waiting for God's timing for me to return to my homeland to fulfill my dream. In late 2007, my husband sensed God's calling to serve in a vocational institute in East Asia, which was close linked with KUS. So we signed up for KUS Short Mission Service SMS program. We were ready to move out by the end of 2010. Though we were not going to Myanmar, I was quite happy to support my husband. I was looking forward to serve in the mission field as a family. As I could not speak and understand Chinese language, I was all ready to be just a happy housewife to support my husband to homeschool my daughter, who was then age 7. However, little did I know that God had a different plan for our family. After all our preparations to go to the field, just few weeks before our departure, we received the news that the visa for our work there was rejected. I guess it was probably maybe because of my citizenship. And it was very hard for us to comprehend and to accept. At that moment, one thought came by my mind. Maybe God wanted us to go to Myanmar. But my husband struggled with this thought initially, as Myanmar was not a place he would like to live in. However, after some deliberation and much prayer, we finally surrendered to the sovereign will of our God. We discussed with Pastor Vanajan, and we received her blessings, and we headed for Myanmar instead. On 19th of February 2011, when the plane touched down the land of Myanmar, I prayed to the Lord in my heart, "Please don't let us leave this land until we have accomplished the purpose which you have assigned for us as a family." There was then in Myanmar only one government special school for children with special needs in the whole country. But we do have a few privately run schools, like special schools or centers in the capital city. And there was no institution to provide training for teachers in special education. I strongly believe that to be able to provide a quality service for these children and to nurture them properly, we do really need a teachers who are skillful and also who have the heart for the children. So after 1 year of working and building up a network, God amazingly opened a door for me to coordinate a project to establish a teachers training center for special education. After almost 3 years of laboring in this project, on March 2014, we had a batch of 32 trainers. These are experienced teachers from government school and then some private centers. We requested them to involve for this project. They were finally trained and recognized by the relevant government authorities to run special education courses. At the end of last year, before our return to Singapore, I was very concerned for the continuity and sustainability of the training center. So I really pray, and I also requested the mission department to pray with us, you know, to hand over the work. Through my daily devotions, one day God again spoke to me that this project is not mine, but it's His. He is very concerned about these children too. So I'm just an instrument for the season. It is true indeed, the very first batch of Special Education Teachers Training Program was launched on 30th of January 2015 after our return under a local leader who succeeded me. And God really provided a godly leader who is passionate, committed, and is able to continue the operation of the center there in Myanmar. During our times in Myanmar, besides serving in the special education, God has opened doors for us to be involved in family life ministry in some of the local churches, as well as in the youth development. We really want to thank God for giving us these opportunities to be part of His kingdom plan. I also want to thank KUS and the mission department and our cell group and prayer warriors for their support for us and being there for us always to fulfill His calling for us in this season of our life. Last but not least, I'm very thankful to my mom and all my Sunday school teachers and follow-up or Bible study teachers who had planted the seed for mission and guided me and nurtured me during my growing up years to discover His plans and purpose for my life. Even though they are not here today, I really would like to honor them for their lives and their time that they have invested in me, and God knows them and sees their heart. Thank you all, and may God bless you richly.
Praise God for the wonderful way He led Emu and brought to pass the desires of our heart. And we also praise God for the establishment of the training center and the raising up of the local leaders. You know, our priority is also it's not only to make disciples, but also to raise up the local leaders. And so we want to thank God for all that He has done through this family. Let's pray now before I bring you God's word. Father, we thank you that your hand is on our lives, Lord. As we yield and surrender ourselves to you, you are able to do all that you desire. And even this morning as we look at your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will brood over us, that you would bring revelation, that you would bring courage, that you would bring faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Easter is still in my thoughts, and I came across the story by N.T. Wright. It's set in a small town in Russia. The people had been gathered for the usual communist propaganda, and they were listening fearfully as the leader spoke to them. He continued on for some time, and at last he paused before he concluded. He said, "There is no God. Jesus Christ never existed. There is no such thing as a Holy Spirit. And the church," he said, "the church is out of date. Your future," he told the people, "is in the hands of the state, and the state is in the hands of the Communist Party." He was very pleased with his argument. He thought he had demolished every faith in Christ Jesus that may have been there among the people. And as he was about to sit down, an old priest at the front stood up and said, "Can I say three words?" I guess the communist leader must have been wondering, what could an old man say in three words? I'm sure he can't undo all that I have said. So he gave the old man permission. The old priest stood up, he looked at his crowd, and he said, "Christ is risen." And the people roared back, "He is risen indeed." They had been declaring that every Easter, and it is still true in spite of what this communist leader was saying. You know, when you know the truth, it can't be wiped out. In the book of Acts, we read how the early disciples went about spreading the gospel with confidence. They were filled with power from the Holy Spirit, and they became powerful witnesses. We need the empowerment of the Spirit that we may be powerful witnesses for the Lord. Amen. And as the gospel was spreading, you realize just how different the gospel was from the society around it. It is not like the pagan religions. It is not a philosophy for the people of Athens to debate about. It was not seeking to overthrow Caesar, although it was proclaiming a king. The kingdom of God is vastly different. It is a kingdom that is not limited by geographical boundaries, and it will not be hindered by opposition. The gospel cannot be imprisoned. Its messengers cannot be silenced. And even if the believers are persecuted and martyred, the kingdom of God will grow even stronger. You know, we have been hearing about how ISIS has been persecuting Christians. And I came across a video clip where the brother of two of the Coptic Christians who were executed by ISIS spoke to the Christian TV channel. He thanked ISIS. He thanked ISIS for keeping his brother's last words on the video. And what were their last words? "Lord Jesus Christ." "Lord Jesus Christ," as they were being executed, this is what they said. And the brother said his faith has been strengthened as he heard his brothers call out the name of the Lord. "I am proud of them," he said. He said there were other families in the villages who had lost loved ones. But he said, "We are not grieving. We are celebrating because there's so many martyrs from our village." And he had a prayer for the persecutors. It was this: "Open their eyes that they will be saved. Open their eyes that they may be saved." You know, the church of Jesus Christ cannot be silent. It will grow only stronger in spite of the opposition, as our brothers in Egypt have shown us. They've given us a model. They've given us an example of how we too can proclaim Jesus. Today I want to share with you the story of one of the most prominent persecutors of the early church in Acts 22, verses 6 to 11. Let me read that. "About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me." Today we are going to look at two questions in this passage. Who are you, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? Who are you, Lord? You know, Saul was very well educated. He was a Pharisee. He was not like the uneducated Peter and John who used to hang around Jesus. He was well trained in the laws of God. And if you judge him by the standards of the law, he would be found blameless, as he says in Philippians. He was there when Stephen was martyred. Saul approved of what was going on. And now Saul was on a mission. And his mission was very different. He was out on a mission to put the Christians into prison. You know, it bothered him that this movement of Christians was expanding. How dare they go about teaching these wrong things? How can they say that the Messiah has come? The Messiah hasn't come. He didn't do what a Messiah should do. Jesus is definitely not the Messiah. So Saul persecuted the believers and would have done all he could to destroy them because they were misleading the people, he thought. They must be stopped. He was afraid at the way the gospel was spreading. And the gospel was spreading. It was going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And now it had gone to Damascus. Saul wanted to find the heretics. And that's what he called the Christians. And he wanted to bring them back to Jerusalem. Saul had his own ideas of what God should be like. Of what God should do. And these were so fixed in his mind that they couldn't be changed. It couldn't be dislodged. Instead of worshipping God, Saul was worshipping his own understanding, his own ideas of what God should be like. Headstrong, bent on his goal, he was on this road to persecute Christians until Jesus stopped him. Jesus meets with Saul and he asks Saul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" For all his study and learning and religious practices, at the center of Saul's heart and mind was not God. It was his ideas of what God is like. You know, Saul and the ruling group of priests, the Pharisees, resisted the work of the Holy Spirit. And this Stephen points out in his defense in Acts 7:51, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." They were blind to the truths of the gospel. Saul could not accept that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. In another account of this incident in Acts 26:14, we read Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, the goads are the sticks that are used to keep the ox moving in a desired direction. They are used to guide the ox. And so when you kick against those sticks, you get hurt. So, "Saul, why are you fighting against me? Why are you fighting against your destiny? You are only hurting yourself." This was a defining moment for Saul. Now, Saul understood religion. He was concerned about keeping the rules. What he didn't understand was God. He knew the promises of God in the Old Testament. I am sure he was eagerly expecting the coming of the sovereign king for him to be revealed to the whole world. But Jesus didn't fit the bill. Instead of delivering them from Roman oppression, Jesus was finding fault with the Pharisees because of their self-righteousness. Jesus was not following the agenda of the religious leaders or of men like Saul. So will Saul give up his worship of his own ideas of what God is like, of what God should do, which were but a shadow of the real thing? Or will he worship the true God? This is a question that we must ask ourselves today. Are we worshipping our own ideas of who God is? Or are we really worshipping God? When God doesn't give us what we ask of him or doesn't do what we want him to do, is he still God? Are we asking God to follow our own agendas? Or are we willing to follow his? You know, are there conflicting desires in your hearts this morning, wrestling for space? What will you choose? who will you follow? Now, we must allow God's truth to demolish our wrong ideas and correct the incomplete picture that we have of Him so that we may really worship Him for who He is. Sometimes we want to accept some aspects of God's character and reject others. When we do that, we mold into shape a God who fits our ideas and purpose. But that's not really who God is. You know, Saul and the Pharisees were close to God's revelation. They closed their minds to what the Holy Spirit wanted to reveal to them. They thought they had God all figured out. They could predict, they thought, what God would do next, how the Messiah should behave. So they came up with an agenda for God to follow, a do list. God, this is your to-do list. You do this and then we know you are God. But God is not predictable. We want predictability, don't we? But God is not predictable. You know, I learned this from one of my lecturers at TTC. He will remind us that God is consistent and faithful to His character, but He is never predictable. You know, I went to TTC to study after I came back from the mission field because I thought it'll help me to know God more. Better still, I will be able to answer the questions that smart people from KUS like to ask. And, you know, but you may not believe this, I came out of TTC with more questions. One of our lecturers had a favorite slide which he will put up now and then, especially when he pointed out things to us that we had taken for granted. And his slide was this: why am I disturbing your faith? We were forced to think through what we believed and why we believed. I did my studies part-time and Pastor Johnny was there as a full-time student, so he was ahead of me. So one day I bumped into Johnny at the corridor and I said, "Johnny, is this going to get better?" And you know Pastor Johnny, he's so kind and gentle. He smiled at me and he said, "It's going to get worse before it gets better, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel." So if you're going to go into theological studies, I have already warned you. God is consistent, but He's not predictable. Religious boredom sets in when we think that we have God all figured out and there's nothing new to learn. You know, the minute we think that we can totally explain God, He ceases to be God. We must come to God with expectancy, with eagerness, and with humility. And God wants to expand our hearts and minds and reveal who He is. He is the risen Christ, the victorious one, the one whom we can trust, the one who will never fail us. In this incident with Saul, there are a number of things that we can learn about God. First is, God is the initiator and He wants to reveal Himself. Is Saul seeking for God? No. He was looking for those who were spreading the gospel message and he actually wanted to stop the work of God, stop the message of the gospel from spreading. But God takes the initiative to meet with Saul. When He does that, God is true to His character. Bringing the gospel to the lost is His idea. The salvation of nations is His idea. He desires to serve all, save all of mankind, even the wicked, if they will repent. Ezekiel 33 verse 11 says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live." He initiates. He initiated the meeting with Moses at the burning bush. He initiated that meeting with Moses up on the mountain. The people of Israel said, "We don't want to meet with God. We may be consumed. You go ahead." But God wants to be with His people. He doesn't like long-distance relationships. So He came up with the idea of the tent of meeting. He came up with the idea of the tabernacle. He wants to dwell with His people. He wants to draw closer and closer to His people. So He sends Jesus to live among us. And today, His Spirit dwells with us. God wants to draw close to you. He doesn't want a long distance relationship with you. He wants to come as close as He can to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you. What hinders God from drawing closer to us is not His reluctance. It is us. We have our own ideas of where He fits in this relationship. We want to tell Him what to do and how to do it. Someone said that many serve God, but more as His advisors. They want to give orders to God and interfere with what he is doing. You know, prayer isn't convincing God to listen because he's reluctant. It's actually a response to God's initiative. You know, at the Missions Festival last year, you may remember that Po Chu shared how God had led her to join the church planting team to Japan. The team had their training towards the end of last year. They all submitted their they needed to submit their application for COE. COE doesn't mean they're going to buy a car. COE is a certificate of eligibility so that they can get their missionary visa. Now, the journey up to now has been an interesting one. You know, we started praying for Japan in about 2008. As a church, we were also involved in the Japanese Bible Translation Project. In 2012, we sent a mission team as well, a SMS participant to Japan. And when we felt God's leading to start a church in 2013. Now, we prayed much. We didn't want to take it for granted that this is what God, we want to be sure this is God's initiative and that was Him leading us. So we prayed at the monthly missions praying. We said, lead us, direct us, take this away if this is not of you. We prayed a number of times at the monthly prayer and praise, and I want to thank all of you who shared with us, who shared the burden with us and prayed with us. But we needed somebody to support our COE application in Japan. And a number of you gave us some contacts. We found some contacts, but none of them came through. And we tried other ways to go into Japan. Again, it didn't work out. The church planting team was praying. We were praying, but we were not going anywhere. I remember going to the Lord in about September, October last year, wondering what was happening. You know, it was a short prayer. I didn't know what else to pray. I think my heart language must be Singlish. You know, Singlish is very direct. One or not, can or not. So I went to the Lord and I said, so how, Lord? You hearing our prayers or not? No, there was no disrespect. I just didn't know what else to say. And a couple of days later in the book of, I was reading the book of Acts and this verse, a wide open door jumped at me. And I thought, the Lord's saying something here. A few days later, a lady from a missions agency came to talk to me about one of our other missionaries. In the course of our conversation, I found out that she had been a missionary in Japan. Now, we had approached this agency earlier. We had spoken to somebody else, but we didn't have any answers. But when this lady heard of our plight, she said, let me see what I can do. She was very quick. She wrote to somebody in Japan, and within a couple of days, that person wrote back, and he said, I would gladly support Church of Our Savior. At the same time, a pastor from Japan was in Singapore and we went to meet him. And he also said, I would gladly support your application. So there was a door wide open for us now. We took up the offer from the pastor from Japan. We submitted our certificate of eligibility application towards the end of November. And we continue to pray that everything will go smoothly. We didn't hear anything from the immigration in Japan and we wondered if we needed to pray more intensely. But after some time, I felt that the Lord was telling me, give thanks. I said, Lord, nothing in sight yet. Is this my own optimism kicking in? Because there was no news. We didn't hear anything from them. But anyway, I started giving thanks quietly, slowly. I didn't dare tell anybody the Lord is saying giving thanks. When they asked me, so how? I said, coming, it's coming. The team was happy. They didn't go in January, which was too cold. They were happy they didn't go in February because it was Chinese New Year. But March came and there was still no news from Japan. So we said, maybe we need to find out what's going on. So we asked our Japanese contact to check for us. And he came back to say, they had approved your application in December, but it got lost in the mail. Now I know what the Lord was saying, give thanks. And just last Thursday, we received the certificate of eligibility, and we really want to thank God for that. It has been a long journey to get started in Japan. We haven't finished. This is just to get into Japan. So there's a lot more to do. We are excited, and like Pastor Daniel said, you know, I hope that all of you will come for the prayer and praise meeting because we want to commission the team at this prayer and praise meeting. The team needs to know that the church is behind them, that you are going to pray for them as they start this work. Yeah, so I hope to see all of you there as we pray for the nations. You know, the way I pray has changed over the years. I stop more often now to ask for directions in prayer. You know the story of the wise men, the three wise men who, you know why they are called wise? Because they stopped to ask for directions. So we need to ask God, God, what do you want to do here? How should I pray? Is it time to give thanks? You know, it's exciting. He is hearing our prayers and it is His initiative. At the heart of the gospel is the meeting between God and man, and it all comes at God's initiative. He will pursue us with His love, for we are His from the very beginning. He has pursued you, and that's why you are here this morning. Secondly, God identifies with His church. Now, we also see in this passage that God identifies with His church. He asks Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The way we treat God's people is counted by God as equivalent to how you treat Him. Why are you persecuting me? In that you're persecuting my people, you are persecuting me. And anyone who hurts His people will have to answer to Him, as Saul found out. You know, it's like in school when you're bullied and you bring along your older brother or your dad, and immediately the bully runs away. No, God will come when His people are being persecuted. Thirdly, God enlists others in His work. Earlier we read how God told Saul to go to Damascus, and in Acts 9:10-15, we read how God prepares Ananias to meet with Saul. Verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. You know, like Ananias, when we don't understand what God wants us to do, we try and remind God what God is going on. Are you serious, God? Do you know who this man is? He has been persecuting your people, and do you know why he is here? He is here for the same reason. Come on, God, you can't be serious. And what does God say? Go. Stop arguing. That's my addition here. You know, I guess if we stop talking and listen to Him more and allow God to speak, maybe God wants to tell some of us here, stop arguing. Do as I have told you to do. I wonder how many of us here need that word today. Stop arguing. Do as I have told you. We can be so argumentative, isn't it? We need to let God have His way. Fourthly, God has a plan for the salvation of Jews and the Gentiles. In verse 15 of Acts 9 that we just read, God shares His plan for Saul. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Saul will proclaim his name to the Gentiles, to the Jews, and even to the kings. In Acts 26:28, this comes to pass. Read there in verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Now, Paul's first thought wasn't his freedom. It was the salvation that all will come to know and to love Jesus as he did. You know, isn't it amazing how God links everything together? He speaks to Saul, links Saul to Ananias. He sends Ananias to pray for Saul to regain his sight. And all the time, he's linking them to his plan and his purpose. His plan is to make himself known among the nations. Just as he spoke to the disciples after the resurrection when they were gathered in the upper room, he told them the missionary nature of the church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Will you read this verse with me? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the nature of the church, the missionary calling of the church. You know, one of our missionaries is working in a creative access nation. Creative access nation means you can't go there as a missionary. You've got to find another way to go in there. And among the people group that she's working in, there was a small church of about 25 people. Most of them were young people in their early 20s. The leaders of this group, there are about three or four of them, all in their early 20s. And they were eager to learn all about leading a church and how they can build up the faith of the people. And even when we were worshipping, we had to go to a room that had a soundproof so that nobody could hear us because they are not allowed to worship openly. You know, what is their desire? These people in their early 20s, what is their desire? They had a vision to go to this other city where the rest of their people were. And they said, we want to go there to share the gospel because our people have not heard the gospel. And what kind of jobs do you think these young people were looking for? A job that would make them a lot of money so they could give? Or a job that would take them to all parts of the world? No, they were looking for a job that will be able to take them to that place so that they could go and share the gospel. Whatever job it was that would allow them entry into this place where they won't stand out, but they could take the gospel there. You know, it reminded me of the Moravians, how they took the gospel into this island. And only slaves could go there, so they became slaves, so they could take the gospel. These young people want to go to this place so that they can share the gospel. You know, the gospel cannot be restricted, it cannot be stopped. It is conquering hearts. And who are you, Lord? Who is the Lord? He is the initiator and he desires to reveal himself. When his people are being persecuted, he will be there. He identifies with them. He enlists others in his work and is unwavering in his plan and purpose that one day the nations will acknowledge him. No, the revelation of who God is requires a response, doesn't it? What shall I do, Lord? The first thing is surrender. Saul surrendered to God's will. His conversion was not just a slight change of his beliefs. It was a radical change. Where once he was persecuting the Christians, now he was one of them. That original goal was abandoned. What shall I do, Lord? You notice that there are no ifs, no buts, no conditions attached. It was a wholehearted surrender. No guarantees were asked. Lord, what shall I do? You know, God waits for us to ask him that. To abandon our lives to him. Offering ourselves in surrender without reservations is what worship is all about, isn't it? Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. When you think about sacrifice, God's command to Abraham comes to mind. In Genesis 22 verse 1, we are told it is a test. It was a test to see if Abraham really worshipped God or if he put his son first. I have a daughter, I've mentioned that I think before in my sermons. And last year, she decided she wanted to go to Africa. She wanted to take some months off. She wanted to take one semester off from her studies and go to Africa. I had no problem about her taking a semester off. The universities allowed that now and I thought it was a good idea. But I wasn't sure about Africa. It was so far away. There's nothing about Africa that I know. I'm sorry to say I'm the missions pastor and I didn't know enough about Africa because we've been focusing so much on Asia. So I told her, why don't you go to India? And she said, you think India is safe? At that time, India was much in the papers. Delhi was known as the rape capital of the world. My only answer to that was, I know India. I've been to India. I've lived there. I know you will be safe. But she was adamant about Africa. So, do you all have this problem with your children? So, as good Christian parents, my husband and I said, we will pray. And she too prayed. You know what her prayer was? God, they're not going to listen to me. You talk to them. Now, God spoke to my husband and said, let her go. Let her go. So we connected her to a missions agency that had work in Africa. And so she went. It was so far away. We kept in touch through Skype and WhatsApp. And a couple of days after she got there, she Skyped me. She said, Mom, there was an armed robbery in a supermarket. And I'm thinking, NTUC armed robbery doesn't work. Come another few days, she said, there are two ladies outside their home. They got robbed as they were getting into the car. So it was getting scary, right? But she was learning much as she was there. I had to stop myself. You can't call her home. You have to surrender her. She was working with the Congo refugees. And these were folks who spoke in Swahili. Those of you who love the Lion King may know. Hakuna Matata. No worries. That's their language. She came back safe. She had learned much from her time there. And Africa is in my prayer list now because of her and because of her experiences. And Durban is in the news. And there's much that we need to pray for that part of the world too. I am not sure where she will go. I'm not sure if she will be a missionary or if she just likes to travel. But I have to remember, Hakuna Matata. No worries. Now, we are fond of saying that our ceiling will be the next floor's, the next generation's floor, right? Our ceiling is to be their floor. If that is going to happen, we have to let our children go. They may go further than us, literally. We have to be prepared that they will take different risks. They will take different paths. Are we prepared to let them go when he calls? Even if you have no kids, even if you are not married, all that you love must be handed over to him in surrender. And all that we commit to him is safe. He will not let us down. Abraham believed that God is able to raise Isaac, even if that moment Isaac was sacrificed. And we need to believe God. We need to pass this test, even as Abraham did. You know, a sacrifice of surrender to God is not a sign of defeat or of weakness. We don't surrender because we have lost. We surrender because Jesus has won. Our surrender is a sign of trust in who God is, in his victory. Our surrender says, we worship only you. The second thing we do is partner with God. As we look at the world, there are many areas that are messy, that are in situations of chaos. You know, it reminds me when I was in a fast food restaurant in a third world country. You know, in fast food restaurants, you have to clear the tray after you. But this was new in this place, and the table was messy. This lady came in with her children. She sat there for a while, waited for somebody to come and clean the table. Nobody came. So finally, in a loud, booming voice, she said, "And who will clean up this mess?" We look at the world and we want to say, "And who will clean up this mess?" Implying somebody else should do it. But you know what? You have a part to play in clearing up the mess. The story of Jesus doesn't end with Jesus. It continues in the life of the disciples, God working in them, God working through them. You know, there are many different works that are there for us to do. We need different gifts that we may reach the nations. Ananias was different from Saul. Saul was different from Barnabas, and so on. What are the gifts and ministries that God has entrusted to you? Where is he calling you to? What is he asking you to do? How will you make his name known? You know, earlier we heard Emu's testimony. God's favor was upon her. She served in Myanmar. Tommy told us that when he speaks, a handful gather. When she speaks, the whole place is full. She was on national TV to share with them the plight of the children with special needs. She talked about vocational training for children with special needs. She shared with them all that she had learned in Singapore. You know, initially there was some disappointment because their visa for East Asia didn't come through. At our farewell meeting, you should have seen them. Tommy was so sad. Emu was so happy. But they got over that hiccup. There are sometimes hiccups. It doesn't go smoothly. There are hiccups. But they got over there, set their hearts on what God was placing before them, and they put their hands to the work. And how it all came together so beautifully. You know, what are the gifts that God has entrusted to you? What are the desires that he has placed in your heart? He initiates, and we partner him in the work. And it pleases him to use us. So it's under that overarching desire of God to make himself known that we work to make him known. Amen. I'll ask the worship team to come. And let's spend a few minutes just looking at these questions squarely, directly, in an honest manner. Who are you, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? There are new ministries waiting to spring up, waiting for the sons and daughters to rise up to their positions. Can we surrender ourselves to God wholeheartedly? No ifs, no buts, no conditions? Or are we fighting God? Fighting against the goats? Are we fighting against the destiny that God has for us? I think Eddie had a word earlier for someone who has a destiny to the nations. Now, we must allow the Holy Spirit to do his work deep in our hearts so that we may hear God again, so that we may know God again, so that we may feel God again. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you with hearts that are open, bowing in worship and surrender before you. You are our God, and it is you we desire. And it's your desire, Lord, that all may know you. We ask this morning that you will pour out your Spirit on us afresh. Bring courage, bring conviction, bring confidence, bring faith. Bring to birth ministries that you desire to see among us. Stir the gifts that you have placed among us as a people, gifts that lie dormant. Bring to mind the dreams that you gave us, O God. Resurrect those dreams, as it were, because they were from you. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we may be powerful witnesses for you, that all may hear and know who you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and the worship team leads us.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you. Open our hearts, Lord. We want to know you. Open our ears, Lord. To hear you, Jesus, be revealed. Jesus, be revealed. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you.
Us, I believe that God is saying something to this church. You know, life is very short. The first time you open your eyes, you see your mother's face, you blink. Suddenly you are, you know, in primary school, you blink one more time, you're graduating your high school. And you blink after that, suddenly you finish NS, getting into work. You blink one more time, you know, who knows, you're getting married, having your own kids. You blink a few more times. Suddenly you're an old person looking behind, you know. And then you close your eyes for the last time. The next time you open your eyes, you're going to stand before God giving an answer for what have you done with your life. God has been faithful. Have we been faithful? I think God is not just trying to inform us about the needs in the world. I don't think God is just here to, you know, kind of amuse us or entertain us. This is a serious time. And I think God is challenging us to rise up to another level. All of us, every one of us, wherever you are, God is calling you to do your part. And today, you know, we've heard something about the challenge that God may be speaking to some of you. I urge you, and I urge you to obey Christ. because one day we will all have to give an answer to that. So even as we now go from this place, I pray that God's Spirit will come upon you, right? Because God is calling the church to rise up. You know, we are not just a church who come together to be entertained. We are a church of disciples, and we want to be a church of disciples. Amen? Amen. Father, we want to thank you for the message today. Father, we pray that you will spur your people up, Lord. You cause them to rise up, your spirit of faith to rise up in their hearts once again, so that the flame that burned in them will now burn even brighter, Lord. And this flame will be carried to the nations. It will be carried to those people who need to hear it. Father, may your spirit come today upon all of us. Lord, may you cause each of us to live in such a way, Lord, as if, Lord, this is our last day for you, Lord. So that when we see you next, Lord, we will be able to give an answer. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that we will not squander away the precious life that you've given to each and every one of us, Lord. That calling that you've given to each one of us. Now, as we go from this place, Father, may we go carrying that call in each and every one of our hearts. If not in us, how will the world know about you? So, Father, may we go determined, stirred up, to make a change in our lifestyle so that we can reflect you more and more here and overseas. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless all of you. Service is over. If God spoke to you, you know, you can come and talk to Pastor Vanaja, you know, about, you know, what you might want to try and do.